In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Slava Jesus Christus.
Slava Navieki.
For those of you who do not know me, and that would be most of you, I'm Father Deacon Tim Kennedy, and I'm one of the seminarians studying for the priesthood here at St. Cyril and Methodius Byzantine Catholic Seminary. I'm a deacon in the Eparchy of Passaic, and Father Miron asked me to come and give him a hand this morning, and he asked me what I like to preach, and I was told early in my ministry, never say no. So here I am, you've got me for the next few minutes. And I'm grateful for that because I love the scriptures from this morning's liturgy. We hear, first of all, from St. Paul, who is writing to his protege, Timothy. And he's encouraging him and telling him that he's going to face difficulties in life, that as a Christian, we will suffer persecution. How many know that as Catholic Christians, we suffer persecutions? Yes or yes? Shake your head yes, because if you're doing it right, we're going to be persecuted. You don't believe me? Next time you go to Walmart, try sharing a little bit about the gospel to the person behind you or in front of you in line. That should not deter us. And that was Paul's message to Timothy. Don't be deterred by what the world delivers you, because we're not made for the world. How many know that we're not made for the world? Pope Benedict XVI, of thrice blessed memory, has said previously that we are not made for this. We are made for greatness. The world delivers us comfort, or what we should perceive by their standards to be comfort, but we're made for greatness. How many know that we are only going to be great in the eyes of the Lord when we begin to do His will? Yes or yes? Yes. And so Paul tells Timothy to stay the course, to rely on his faith, to delve into the sacred scriptures, and to live his life in a manner that's pleasing to the Lord. And then we open up the gospel this morning and we see the story of the Pharisee and the publican. The high churchman and the tax collector. The Pharisees were well revered by the people of Jesus' time. They dressed the part. They were the ones that they would turn to for encouragement in living the faith. So the Pharisee enters the temple and he's adorned in his robes. He has his phylacteries and his long tassels. And he comes up and he stands in the front of the church and he begins to pray with his head unbowed. Lord, I give you thanks that I'm not like the rest of these heathens that are gathered all around me, that I'm not an adulterer, that I'm not a thief, that I'm not this or that, and that I'm not like the guy in the back of the church, the tax collector. And then he proceeds to enumerate all that he does to practice his faith, that he tithes on all he has. Back in Jesus' time, the only thing that required tithing were the crops that they would bring in. He is going beyond. He's tithing on everything. And he begins to enumerate that he's doing this thing and that thing that are supposed to be good and pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. And by contrast, we see the tax collector, hated by the people of his time, because typically they took advantage of the system. First of all, they were Jews, like the rest of those gathered, who were pulled out of Jewish culture to perform a task for Rome, to collect taxes. And often they would take more than what was required and put it in their own pockets. They lived a manner of living that was contrary to the teachings of the church at that time. And we see this man come in. He wouldn't dare go up to the front of the temple. He stayed in the back. Well, some things never change. All the good Catholics end up in the back of the church, right? We're afraid to come up. But he stays in the back of the church, and he begins to pray. And he simply bows his head, and he prays the prayer that you and I are most familiar with, right? The Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, show me mercy. How many know God has a name? God has a name. And his name is mercy. Jesus, literally translated, means God saves his people. And when you and I call on the name of Jesus, we're asking very much the same thing that that publican was asking for, that we who are sinners, yes or yes, how many know that there's some sinners among us, yes? That we who are sinners need mercy, that we can't do this, that we can't live the Christian life, that we can't embrace all that God has in store for us without the gift of his mercy, without the gift of his love that he pours out on all of us if we choose to accept it. And so we look at the contrast this morning between the two. One who comes up and enumerates to God all that he's done, that he's living a good and upright life, that he's tithing, that he's praying. And then we have the publican, despised by his contemporaries of his time, who simply bows his head and says, Lord, I need your mercy. Show me mercy. I'm not worthy to come forward and to be in your presence. But with your mercy, I know I can get by. And that should really resound in all of us, that we're called by our baptism to live a Christian life, yes or yes? Yes. You know, if you open up the first chapter of Mark's gospel, Jesus like bounds on the scene. He says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now is the time. Repent and believe the good news. This tax collector understood that. He got it. And so he comes with a heart filled with repentance, and he's begging the Lord to take over his life. In our baptism, we give our hearts and minds to Jesus. And then we're called to go forth and to live that way throughout the rest of our lives. And I don't know about you, but I often fall very far short of that. Most days. And so I have to bow and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Show me your mercy. Help me to get up and to get back on the right path. It's good to pray, but our prayers are most effective and most pleasing to God when our hearts and minds are in the right place. When we realize exactly who we are and who God is. You know, many days we go through our lives maybe without much thought to God. Maybe we don't have a great prayer life. Maybe we are lacking. Maybe we get sucked in by what the world offers us. And we forget how great we are in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. Today's an opportunity for us to be reminded again that God's name is mercy and He wants to pour it out on all of us, that He wants to justify us, and He does that by how we live our Christian lives. We're about to enter the great fast. We're about to do some house cleaning, hopefully. And as we enter Lent, we have an opportunity to embrace the love of God again, to enter into the ability to pray a little more, to work on our prayer lives, to maybe study the scriptures a little more deeply. How many have a Bible? 6 of you, very good. That's a love story. And it's your love story and my love story written by our Heavenly Father who loves us from now until all eternity. It would do us well to take a few minutes each day and read the scriptures and allow them to speak to us. We're learning this morning that this is a God who reads hearts and minds. And our heart and mind should be directed in the right place, toward God, toward His mercy. That will allow us to move forward, to make more powerful our prayer rule, to make more powerful our almsgiving, our tithing, to make more powerful our works of charity for reaching out to the poor. It will lead us on the path of righteousness and help us along the way as Paul helped Timothy. The Father is calling us to embrace Him and His love for us. And it begins, as we begin to progress toward Lent, with this morning's readings and where our heart and mind is directed. We're at the beginning of something amazing, something beautiful. We have the opportunity, all of us, to experience the most beautiful, most great Lent ever in our lives, to prepare our hearts to embrace the risen Lord at Pascha. Are we going to take this opportunity to embrace it and allow it to permeate us and then begin to live that way in our lives? Or are we going to walk out of here in about another 30, 40 minutes and just enter into the world again, the world that leads us nowhere? Every road that the world offers you is a dead end. The road that Jesus paved for us is the road that leads to eternity, the road that leads to salvation, the road that leads to heaven. How many have heaven in your travel plans? Half of you, very good. Heaven is our destiny. Heaven is where our Father wants us to be. Heaven was made for you and for me. The question we have to ask ourselves is, do we want to go there as much as our Heavenly Father wants us to be there with Him? And I would suggest the easiest, fastest way to heaven is to take the narrow road, to embrace the activities of the Pharisee, to give alms, to give thanks, to pray, but to have the heart of the publican and bow before the living God who loves you from now until eternity and say to Him, O God, be merciful to me, your son or daughter. a poor sinner. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory.